Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium. Opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome to another episode of BIB Radio. Today is April 6th, 2017. I hope you all are doing well and you're ready for another power-packed episode of Blacks in Business Radio with myself, CeCe Harry, and Brother Robert 11X Minor. Today's show is called It's Never Too Late to Start Making Money. And we will talk to Brother Robert 11X about his business that he started here in St. Louis, Missouri, called Jag Laundry Detergent. Now, of course, you all have heard him every week on the programming concerning the guests and different things that we're doing. But we're going to kind of go back to basics, to the beginning, let you all get to know who he is again and let him introduce the product to you. And then also offer to you the opportunity to sell laundry detergent where you are in your area. With it being a quite lucrative business, we thought that it would be nice for us to just do a show so that everybody could have the proper opportunity to make money. I don't want to get too much into it without talking to Robert yet, but let's just say if you'd like to sell this laundry detergent, you can make upwards of, I'd say, maybe $70 per container. But I'll let him talk to you about that when he comes on. So that's the first hour. The second hour, we're going to be talking to a person that I met the other day that Robert's quite familiar with. His name is Mr. Jason M. Thornton. He's a tax advisor enrolled to practice by the U.S. Department of Treasury. He is also a certified public accountant candidate for the state of Missouri. Thornton Tax Firm specializes in tax resolution, serving individuals, small business, and nonprofits in tax controversy cases. Jason takes great pride in representing clients before the government to resolve tax issues. He has been recognized by the U.S. Department of Treasury for his outstanding contributions in tax counseling. As I said before, Mr. Thornton is located here in St. Louis, Missouri, and you can feel free to call in with your questions because, as we know, tax time is coming to an end. Of course, you can file that extension if you need to, but why do that if you don't have to? I mean, you could simply come on the line and ask Mr. Thornton all of your tax questions, and he could probably help you. So we have a few people who we've been in communication with concerning taxes. So if you need that help, we definitely have it here for you on the radio. What I would like to do now is open up the floor to my co-host, Brother Robert 11X, who is the subject matter for the first hour. Hello, Robert. Are you on the air?
Yes, I am here, Cece. And how are you today?
I am wonderful. What about yourself?
Oh, man. I'm very wonderful today. I'm very full of a lot of joy and just a lot of good things have been just been going on. So I'm just very happy.
Okay, well, that's good. So we're going to talk to you in the first hour, like I was telling the listeners, about the laundry detergent business. So let's kind of get back to basics with you. Now, you've been an entrepreneur for how long?
Well, that's, let's just say over, I would say about 28, nearly 30 years of my life, I've been an entrepreneur.
Okay. Okay. So you experienced entrepreneurship through one of your parents, I think?
Yes, my mother was the first person that actually introduced me and my brother, Andre Miner, he's also an incredible entrepreneur. She introduced the both of us to entrepreneurship by way of a World Book Encyclopedia, going door to door in our Walnut Park area that we grew up in.
Oh, okay. That's wonderful. And from what I understand, she's still an entrepreneur today. Now, what are some of the businesses that you've opened up in the past?
Oh, wow. Well, I let's see. The first one I opened up was in 1993, and that was in Atlanta, Georgia. Ironically, it was a resale shop. I moved to Atlanta with Brother Phineas Sebastian, Phineas X Sebastian, who was also from St. Louis. He was a contractor. Also was very good martial arts. I got introduced to him through Brother Jamie X here at the local NOI Information Center. And we hooked up, and he started teaching me how to do construction work. So he moved to Atlanta, told me he was about to move, asked me, did I want to go? I said, of course. Went there. We did construction there. I learned how to. I overcame a lot of fears doing construction with the brother, and then finally got to a point where I kind of outgrew him, and started working with another guy, and then branched off and had my own business for the very first time. And that, the very first business was a landscaping business I started, and
okay.
Yeah, from there I wound up hiring I didn't hire him, I just, you know, brought him in as a partner to do the jobs. The same brother I went to Atlanta with, you know, I called him in and we did jobs together. But then we did the resale shop after that, and that was a really lucrative business. It was fun. I really wasn't in my right mind in Atlanta, fresh from St. Louis.
Oh, wait, hold on. So you did a resale business in Atlanta and a landscaping business in Atlanta.
Right. And,
okay.
I had kind of forgot about the landscaping part of Atlanta. But yes, that's what I did. I did the landscaping first and then the resale, and then came on back to St. Louis. And worked for, that was in 94. I worked for a car lot here in St. Louis, Premier City Motors, which is no longer in business. And I remember the guy telling me, the owner telling me, I was telling him about I wanted to become an entrepreneur, and one of the things he told me that kind of pissed me off was that I should consider just staying a really good salesman. And I was like, nah, that's not, I'm not going to just settle for that. So on the car lot, I ran across a product that was really making the sales of cars move pretty fast. And people in St. Louis would know about these products I'm about to mention. The Yellow Rose air freshener, the Midnight Mist air freshener, and the Coverall Tide dressing, which to this day, as you know, I have people still come in the booth asking for those items, especially the tire dressing. But while I was working for them, I wound up getting that information, and that was the last job that I had, and that was in 1994.
Okay, so hold on. So you were in the car. Okay, so what business did you start in St. Louis? What business? What was your first business?
The very first business here in St. Louis was a was the Yellow Rose Midnight Mist, and the it was a car detail products at Bryson's Indoor Flea Market, St. Charles Rock Road, when it was open. I got those products. The products we started with were the products that were left over from the Million Man March. Brother Christopher Muhammad loaned me $70 to actually get started with the car care products. He loaned me $70, and I, you know, pushed those products. The products was an easy sale. You know, we love, as black people, we love bling bling. We love shiny things.
Well, hold on, Robert. Wait, I think we have a question. Somebody, let's see, Vincent, you have a question?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, we can. How are you today? Thank you for joining us on BIB Radio.
I'm doing well. How are you doing, CC?
Wonderful.
All right, so my question is, I probably missed it, but what is the name of the laundry detergent?
Well, you didn't miss it because we hadn't gotten into that part yet, but the laundry detergent company is called Jag Laundry Detergent, J-A-G.
Thank you. That's the only question so far.
Oh, okay, perfect. Okay, and it looks like we have someone else here, maybe 2740. Okay. In Harrisburg City. Okay. Well, so let's continue on. All right, so the Midnight Mist, wait, am I saying that right? The car care products, let's just say the car care products, that was your first entrepreneurial endeavor, right?
Yeah, I was saying that, you know, Brother Chris, he loaned me the first $70. I had, mm-hmm. got fired from the car lot. They wanted me to scam black people. That wasn't going to happen, so they allowed me to work a Saturday. I got the information, went to Brother Chris, told him about these products, and I had just paid for my daughter's tuition, slid him the $70. And as I was talking to him about the products, he slid the $70 back and said, "Well, let me see what you can do with that." And I couldn't make myself ask him for any more. I took the $70, called Wayne, that's the guy from Superior, asked him, I said, "Hey, man, I got $70. Can I get a half a gallon of Yellow Rose and a half a gallon of Midnight Mist and credit on the bottles?" And he said, "Yes." And I took those products, started going to the car washes, and everybody I knew I was selling them to. Went back to Brother Chris, showed him how that $70 turned into a couple of $100s. Then a week later, it was $300-$400. And a week later, it was $700-$800. He decided to go out with me because he just couldn't believe how fast this money was growing. And then he came to me and said, "Brother, I want to get this product up to the Million Man March." and how much you think we need. So I told him about $3,000, we should be fine. And in our minds, we were going to make a million, you know. But we got to the Million Man March, and we made, after paying $250 for the booth, we only made $260. So it was a devastating thing for me. We brought the products back home. I wind up losing my van, ran over a pole on the, coming off the highway. I had to get the van towed about 100 miles into St. Louis, got home, was in a state of depression. I couldn't believe that this thing just didn't work, didn't go off. And at that moment, 2 weeks in to not really getting out in the streets and hustling, you know, you have those divine interventions. I've never been to a flea market. I always passed by the flea market in my back in my day, and I used to always make mockery of the people outside selling stuff. At that moment that I'm at home in a state of depression, God put it on my mind to go to the flea market and see what a booth costs. And I did just that. I went to the booth, to the flea market. I asked Mr. Price, and I said, how much does it cost to actually get a booth here at the flea market? And he told me $15 a day. Me being a numbers guy, I knew this product could sell. That was just three bottles. I said, I want a booth, and I haven't looked back from that day. And that was the very first business here that we started, that I started. And then I later on called it Fresh and Clean.
Okay, and hold on. I think we had another person. Caller 2740 from Harrisburg, did you have a question? Well, yes, I think they do have a question. Are you there? No.
Okay.
Okay, let's mute them back in. Okay, so that was the first business.
Right, but let me say this, because a lot of people, how significant that humble start was, that $70. At the time that I started that business, I have to say to you, people probably are in doubt of starting a business with $70. Well, I was in also at that time, I was in court looking at 30 years to life in penitentiary for three drug cases and a gun case. And so my motivating factor was not to go to jail and not to go back into the streets selling that poison to my people. So I knew I was more than just a drug dealer. I always said I was a hustler and not just a drug dealer. And one of the things in buying drugs, it used to drive me, because I would always spend the money with the drug dealer and they wouldn't spend money with me. So I was always thinking, how can I sell the drug dealer something, because he's always selling me, getting $1,000 and $2,000 and $3,000 out of my pocket at a time. How could I get it out of his pocket? So the Yellow Rose and the Midnight Mist and the car care products definitely was a winner with him. But for me, it was smaller numbers. It wasn't big enough numbers, because I knew I was giving them, as I said, $1,000, $2,000, $3,000 at a time. I wanted to get a chunk of change out of his pocket. So we went from selling the car care products, the Yellow Rose, the Midnight Mist, and the Coverall tire dressing. And my next venture, aside from that, we stayed with that, but we added to that. I started selling knockoff jeans and knockoff T-shirts and the Tommy Hilfiger stuff. This stuff had tags on it. And that was my segue, the polo pants as well, all that stuff. That was my segue into getting some of the money I've spent with the drug dealers back from them. So I would take those pants and those jeans to the guys that I knew. They didn't know anything about it, because they were stuck in a one-track mind and was only selling drugs. I would buy these jeans for like $15 a pair. They had price tags on them for $80, $90, $100. And I would tell them, I tell you what, these are $100. Give me $60 for them. And I know I only paid $15 for them. And those guys was buying them. So that was the second thing that I did. And for me, it was good, because it wasn't selling anything that was harming my people. I didn't want to go back into that lifestyle. I just knew that it was not something that I wanted to do any longer. I was faced at almost losing out on seeing my children, my first daughter grow up, and it just wasn't good. So I wound up getting 7 years probation behind that, and I vowed to the God and to everybody that wrote a letter for me for the judge that I would never touch any drugs from that point on. And
okay. Well, that's a wonderful story, because there are many people out here that are perhaps trapped in that life where they are, you know, selling drugs. And, you know, I think a big drug that's still being sold today is marijuana. And we know that it's illegal because they make it illegal until they don't make it illegal. And so many places they're, you know, working on not making it illegal, which doesn't help us as a people at all. But for those that are looking to segue out of selling drugs, you are proof that it can be done. Now, talk to the people about your education. You had a time in your life when you decided that you didn't want to go to school anymore, and you dropped out of high school. Is that correct?
Yes, I did. I clowned in high school. I went to Normandy High School, went to Riverview High School, went to Jennings High School. My mother sent me out of town to my father, went to Eastern Hills High School in Fort Worth, Texas, came back to St. Louis, went back to Jennings, and then I just decided that it wasn't for me. High school was, for me, like a playground, you know, it just wasn't for me. And I never saw majority of the classes that they deemed relevant. I didn't see them relevant. The only thing that I really enjoyed about high school was shop class, home economics, math. I was pretty good at that until you got into anything above adding, subtracting, dividing, multiplying, and fractions. And percentages, anything above that, I didn't feel that I needed to know that in order to make money. That was mm-hmm. my thing. How is this going to be relevant for me to make money? And the reason my mind was like that is because we grew up poor. So I quit high school. Thought about going to college. I went up to college, Forest Park. No, it was Flow Valley. Went up there, registered. I got my GED. I did get that. My mother definitely pushed that. If it wasn't for her, I probably wouldn't have had a GED because it didn't matter to me. But so I did that to make sure that she was happy. And then I went to Flow Valley for one semester. I was like, this is a joke for me as well. Signed up for the military, got down to the recruiting station all the way downtown, and I realized that if I didn't do good in school with people telling me what to do, I knew I just couldn't see myself doing well with somebody in my face telling me what to do. So I bagged out of that real quick.
Okay. And, so you were able to still be successful today, although you had dropped out and, you know, you promised your mom to get the GED. But to this day, you still have not gone back to college, but we know that there are many millionaires that have not gotten a college degree because a lot of people don't believe in institutional instruction per se. And we know that you can learn outside of going to a school building. So that's very important for people to know. Now we do have, excuse me, Vincent on the line. He would like to ask a question again. Let's take his question one more time. Hello, Vincent.
Hello again. Okay, so the gentleman with the business, I forgot his name. What is your name, sir?
Robert.
So I looked for the website. Is there an actual website for the company right now?
Not at the moment. There's not a website. We have a Facebook page. It's called Laundry Detergent. I'm always available up under my Facebook name, Robert 11X Minor.
Well, hold on. Let's do this. Vincent, we're just kind of giving a background right now. Okay. If you want to kind of cut to the chase, we can definitely set you up with a consultation. That's what we're getting to. But it sounds like you really want to get to the laundry detergent piece.
I have a conference call at 9 o'clock. So I know it's taking us an hour. Okay, so I will catch up. I listen to the replay, and I guess I'll...
Well, why don't we do this? We'll give you the email address, which is weareblacksinbusiness@gmail.com. weareblacksinbusiness@gmail.com. Then after the show, we'll definitely connect with you and send you the link to go ahead and set up that consultation, okay?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much. You have a great day. You too, Rob.
You do the same. Thank you so much.
I will. Bye.
Bye-bye. People just wanting to cut to the chase and get to the meat and the potatoes, I guess. They want to learn how they can become laundry detergent distributors. Let's fast forward a little bit. So as many people have heard before in the show that you have had a mentor introduced you into real estate, and his name is Mr. Who? Who is he? What's his name? Go ahead and tell us about that.
Yes, Brother Abdul Rashid Shabazz, and where we at right now, I want to segue from where we were before the caller call, because it all is relevant to you bringing him up and me dropping out of school and not going back to school and learning on my own. One of the things that, as you said, my mentor always told me was to at least have a study habit of 15 minutes, do at least 15 minutes of reading a day. And one thing that I did over the years, I've always purchased some books, and I would browse through these books or go through the subtitles or the chapters, and if it caught my eye, then I would read those chapters just to, you know, get what I can get out of it and add to what I do. So I always pay attention to when I would talk to people who did graduate from school or go to college, majority of them never had any books in their homes or in their library. And I say, I didn't know how that could be, because you never can stop learning. And I always said, man, here I am, a high school dropout with a bookshelf full of books. But this guy, Rashid, he really has been a phenomenal mentor from a different perspective of when you say mentors. His street credibility in this city was very strong, but for me, I found that out later. When I met him, all I saw was books and books and books, and these books looked like they had been dissected by scientists. So I knew that I needed to get up under his wing. And I did, and he taught me how to buy real estate. And I bought my first piece of property in, 1998, through what he taught me. But, he has helped me tremendously over the years.
Okay. Well, that is wonderful to have a mentor in the entrepreneurial game, because without a mentor, you kind of, flying blindly in this thing. And we know that with all the hurdles that can come through, without a mentor, you might be encouraged by yourself to just go work for someone else and get a job. But we know that as entrepreneurs, that's just not something that we necessarily want to do. So it's good that you have him as a mentor. So with that being said, those businesses kind of got you started, but now we're here at the point where you have a booth at the flea market, not just one booth, but three booths, because you've knocked down several walls. For those of you that haven't been to a flea market, this particular flea market has units on the inside that you can rent, but then there's also units on the outside because it's a regular storage facility. What Robert did was actually rented one booth, then he rented two, and then three, and he actually knocked the walls down. So he has, and then created plexiglass plexiglass on the outside. So he's essentially made a store on the outside of the larger store. So when people drive up, they encounter him first because he's right on the outside, yet on the inside. It's kind of hard to envision, but if you know what a storage unit looks like, then it's not too hard. Kind of like public storage, but this is really a store. I mean, if you come inside, you'll see all the different products that he sells. But the staple of the store or the whole project is this laundry detergent. Now, when I met Robert on the phone, because I had no idea about all this at all. And he was telling me that he sold laundry detergent. I'm thinking, this is stupid. I mean, just in my mind, who's buying laundry detergent from a person? I mean, it just didn't make sense to me because I was in Seattle and I didn't know that St. Louis was like the land of the hustle. And when I say that, there are people having garage sales or yard sales in their yard. There are people doing something to make it happen. I mean, literally, it is so inspiring for an entrepreneur to see that. But anyway, so Robert said to me that he sells laundry detergent. And I thought, you know, this just doesn't make sense. Does he not know that people can go to the store and buy laundry detergent? It just didn't make sense to me why somebody would buy laundry detergent from another person or a person on the street. So then I got to realize that this was something different. First of all, something different about him, the way that he was dealing with his business, and what his plans were. I mean, it just all came together in such a way that you just can't imagine. So lo and behold, I now know that he sells laundry detergent. And I mean, there's a science to this whole thing. He sells laundry detergent. What type of laundry detergent is this, Robert?
Well, it is a concentrated laundry detergent, all HE high efficiency. Made for restaurants or hospitals or nursing homes because they make it in the 5-gallon buckets to be cost efficient, though. So they design it after the Tide and after the Gain laundry detergents that are out on the market. But the difference is by you buying it in bulk, you can buy it at a much cheaper price. And the without compromising for real the quality of the detergent. So it's a very good laundry. I used the laundry detergent maybe a couple of years before I even started selling it. I wasn't in the mindset of selling it when I had my sock store in South St. Louis. I was going to a flea market and buying it. And it didn't even dawn on me because I was so into these stocks. But it just never dawned on me to try to sell laundry detergents. But that recently, it came about last almost a year and a half ago. I got back to St. Louis from Las Vegas, and I experienced for the first time in my life by not owning any real estate at that time, I was homeless. It happened, you know, but I kind of felt like that was something that just had to happen to me, you know, because sometimes we abuse the blessings that God bestow upon us, or we may abuse people, and as men, we surely most oftentimes abuse women, you know, in terms of in a sexual way, because a lot of times those of us who are in leadership position can easily allow it to go to our head, whether you be in leadership position in terms of having a business and people are looking up to you, women are always coming in your shop and complimenting this, that, and the other, but I just felt like I saw this happening. I saw it coming. No matter what went down, nothing could stop this from happening to me. And I just knew that that was going to be what was going to happen. I even got $17,000. Now, I had $20,000 prior to that. But in my spirit, I just knew that that could not stop what was about to happen in my life. And it happened. You know, it happened. I bought a car, drove to Las Vegas, went to California, bought suits, came back. And when I got back to St. Louis, the thing that I just had that gut feeling that was going to happen, it happened. I wind up after getting back, and I had to walk away from a business. And 2 weeks after I walked away from the business, told my children, go stay with your sister. I'm going to be all right. We don't have a place to stay. I didn't have no cash flow coming in after walking away from the business and did not own any real estate at that point in time. So for the first time in my life, I was homeless. Had a nice car. I called it my Audi Minium, and I began to sleep in that car.
Okay, so fast forward to beyond sleeping in the car, you went ahead and you bought a couple of commercial vans, and you bought these vans and you started retailing out of these vans. Is that right?
Yeah, well, one van I had before I left St. Louis to go to Vegas, I had a van already here. And then And the other van I picked up after I got back and started really putting my time and effort into creating a business. When I got back from St. Louis and that whole thing happened with me being homeless, wind up hooking up with old guy that we used to hustle DVDs with. And I had got some soap from the guy that I was buying it from. He gave me $600 worth of laundry detergent, but I kind of kicked it to the side because that was new territory for me. And I wasn't that familiar with it. So my old buddy had just got out of jail from selling DVDs and wanted to get back in. And I knew that industry well. So we started back with the DVDs. And I come to find out why he went to jail, because he was very sloppy at how he handled his business. So I left him alone, and I began to focus on this laundry detergent that I had sitting to the side. And I had about 30 buckets that the guy gave me on credit. You know, I had them for about maybe a month, you know. And once I really made my mind up to actually go into that business and do what I know how to do with it, it really worked out well. I mean, here we are today, and we're moving lots and lots of laundry detergent from
okay,
that very humble start.
So let's start from that point. Okay, so you had these laundry detergent buckets. You were sitting on them. You really didn't I don't know, exercise what you could in selling them until one day you just decided, okay, I'm going to do this. So once you started selling them, you saw the profit that could be made in them. And from last year until now, you've been able to make quite a living from the sale of these buckets. Now, there are people here on the line. We have several people here. I don't know. They must be here to listen, you know, and learn about how it is that they can get into the laundry business. So What is the most important thing that one must know about selling laundry detergent in the St. Louis area?
Well, let me say this about the selling laundry detergent, period. The one thing that really struck me about laundry detergent is the customer, the return customer, the repeat customer. And as I would sell it, that same customer will come back and come back and come back. And they would always say, man, this is some good detergent. And so it was the repeat customer not so much as the prophet here in St. Louis, because here in St. Louis, in any major city where you have a product that anybody can put their hands on, the competition, your people started competing, they start competing against you, and in the competition, they want to lower the price and lower the price and lower the price and lower the price. So in St. Louis, this market is saturated and it's not good profit-wise. However, I use the return customer to upsell. And you're definitely going to have a return customer. So if you in a place, let's say like in Mississippi, and there's nobody selling laundry detergent, these five-gallon buckets can easily retail at a low end, starting at $55 to $75. You do your math. You go to your bigger stores, and you see what a gallon of Tide or Gain costs by the gallon, upwards into the $20 per gallon and just a little bit over a gallon. So you're talking 5 gallons of detergent, 2 times concentrate. That the stuff you're getting at the store is a single strength. We're talking a 2 times concentrate detergent here. So that gives it even more value because you use less. So you do your math. You go and price 5 gallons of detergent, and if you can find a concentrate, it's going to cost you even more. So if you could sell a person a 5 gallon bucket of laundry detergent for, let's say, $55, $65, saving them every time they do that $35 to $45, not only is it saving them that kind of money, but then now by it being a 2 times concentrate, you use half of what you normally use. So now that customer is not only going to come back, they're going to save twice the amount of money that they normally spend because they got a concentrated detergent, and they're happy with that. Most of us as consumers are looking to save every way we can. Most of us in America don't have extra money to just blow on the necessity things. We blow it on stuff that we want. But when it comes to necessities, you know, if you can get more for less, then that's what the consumer is really wanting to do.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And a lot of people are still amazed and astounded, I find, at the laundry detergent. Because, I mean, as prices go up and people's income goes down, they're definitely looking for a better way to purchase items and goods that they need. And again, like I said before, laundry detergent is the staple because it's what started it all in this particular location. And you all, too, can become entrepreneurs, or if you are entrepreneurs already, you can sell other things. And that is actually key when you are selling. You should have other things that you are selling. You can have one thing that is major and then the others that are minor. But with the laundry detergent, if you are here local, I would say come and visit so that you can pick up a container and try it out for yourself. Of course, you should know about your product before you even start selling it. Don't just take somebody's word for it. This is not some multi-level marketing scam or anything like that. This is real product that we use. So, Robert, why don't you tell them where they can come and purchase the laundry detergent?
Well, right now we have a retail outlet at the Grand Slam Indoor Marketplace at 367 in Chambers Road. That's 2505 Chambers Road. You go through the gate all the way to the end, and you'll see our 3 booths with plexiglass on the front of them. You can look right in and see our product through the outside. You don't have to go into the flea market. And we're working currently on our second location, which is our headquarters, actually, and that's at 8033 North Broadway, which the name of the store is going to be called Buckets Grocery Store.
Okay. So everybody that is here local in St. Louis, feel free to come by so that you can pick up at least a one gallon. Not, you don't have to get the 5 gallon, but at least get the 1 gallon so you could try it out. Because if you try it out, I guarantee you will see that it is most like those store brands that you're used to. If you would like to call in, if you would like to call in so that you can talk to Robert about the laundry detergent business, feel free to do so. You can do that at 1-866-510-9025. Press ** so that we can see you here. We do have a couple people on the line. If you would like to ask a question, press ** so that we can get you in and you can ask questions of myself or Brother Robert. Okay, somebody is there and they're unmuted. So let me go ahead and 5812, you have a question?
Yes, my name is Tony, and I just want to say that I've been knowing Rob since Sock It To Me business that he had on Gravois off of Jefferson. And this brother has been in business, God, since I can remember. I just take my hat off to him. Everything that he's saying, his intelligent level is probably 3 grades above mine, because what I'm hearing today, if I had known that 10, 15 years ago, I mean, I had 2 different businesses just making money. But same thing happened to him, happened to me. Fortunately, I didn't end up homeless. But I'm learning from this man, and I got his cell phone number. Rob, I'm gonna call you too. But I'm not gonna say mistake, but whatever the natural natures of laws or whatever gravity that happened to him happened to me. And right now, I'm trying to make a comeback from that. I've probably buried 4 or 5 family members by myself, no insurance, no anything. So all the profits that I've made off of my hustling has pretty much depleted. And seeing where Rob has come from nothing, and he built himself back up, Rob, you're going to be my new mentor now, man. And it's Tony, by the way, St. Louis, South City. I want to say something else about the quality of some of the stuff that he sells. I was out shopping for Christmas, and something hit me. I was like, why the hell am I going to go to Walmart, Kmart, this more, that more? I went to Rob. I probably spent maybe $85, $90. And the gifts that all the products that I bought from him at the Sock It To Me business that he had, I used to get the movies and whatever. Every single person, every item that I purchased from him and I gave to other people, they was like, man, where did you get this from? These socks are so warm. These gloves are so warm. This hat is and everything. I mean, this guy, he would tear his whole storefront apart from the inside to the out, redo it, and I'll be damn within a month. This guy got a whole nother concept, everything. And I'm not going to go into the other thing about how some entities tried to stop this man, calling the building inspectors on him and this and that, and you know what I'm saying? That's just sad. But, brother, I am so proud of you. And, boy, that's all I can say, man. But, bro, I'm going to give you a call. And I just want people to know that's listening to this, if you think this stuff is a joke, if you think that this is not viable to your everyday life, and I'm going to tell you, man, I am tired as hell of punching a time clock. And, Rob, I will definitely be giving you a call. And that $250 for your classes or whatever that you give in real estate, man, that's nothing to me. At all. And that's all I wanted to say. Love you, bro. I love you.
Love you back, Tony.
Okay, Tony, your check is in the mail. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Most definitely. Most definitely.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay, well, there you have it. That is a live testimonial of someone here local in St. Louis, Missouri that is a witness to the success of Brother Robert 11X. So you shouldn't walk in fear, walk in faith. Everybody is needing to make some extra income. Everybody is needing to recreate themselves in this time. Black people, it is time to be in business for yourselves. You waited long enough. Procrastination is coming to an end. I mean, you're either going to survive or not survive in these times. You know, I still hear everybody talking about Donald Trump and Donald Trump and Donald Trump. Well, I mean, come on now. Donald Trump, Barack Obama, Bill Clinton, George Bush, they're all the same to you. They're all the same to you. So let's take this time to spend time creating self-sufficient businesses for ourselves. What do you say about that, Robert?
Yeah, I mean, definitely spend time pushing yourself past fear. You know, don't be afraid. I've had some unique situations. I've never been blessed to have a lot of money to start a business. And I think that when I look back on it, it's not a think anymore. I know for sure that this is something that I had to go through so that I can be a testimonial to someone that doesn't have much to start a business with. Again, I've never started a business with a lot of money. And through that, I've learned that it doesn't take a lot of money. So if you call me about starting a business, I'm not going to be like the rest of the people that you talk to. I'm going to tell you to spend as less money possible getting your business started and let the business itself create the income to do all those fabulous things that you want to see done in your business. That's what I'm going to tell you. Always keep your money in your pocket. Let the business do all the work. You be there, you run it or whatever, but if that idea is a great idea, you don't need to go to the bank for that. Because if it's a great idea, it's going to do what it's supposed to do, and that is be great. So
okay.
There you
so,
have it.
So let's make sure that everybody knows what we're talking about here. We're talking about laundry detergent, people. Everybody uses it. That is one of the smartest things that you can sell, is something that everybody needs and uses on a daily basis. It's not something trending. It's not the newest pair of leggings or the newest shoes or anything like that. It's laundry detergent. People have to clean their clothing. So why not invest in yourself? If you still have any of that tax return money left, why not invest in yourself and your family to get a business started? You can sell this out of your garage. I mean, don't overthink it. You can sell this out of your car. I mean, we're not going to give you all the information on the radio right now, but this is just to get you in. Get a consultation so that we can tell you all the opportunities that you have in this laundry detergent business. Why not step out on faith and do something? You have. Now, if somebody lives in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, they want to sell laundry detergent, we have a few minutes left before we're going to segue into commercial and then the next guest come on. So if somebody's in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, and they want to sell laundry detergent, what is it that they would expect? They would contact you by emailing us at weareblacksinbusiness@gmail.com. You would do a consultation with them. And what is it that they could expect to come to them? Like, how does the detergent come to them?
Well, the detergent is shipped out in pallets. There are 36 5-gallon buckets a pallet by way of a tractor trailer. UPS is not delivering that, and the United States Post Office is not delivering. FedEx is not going to deliver it. It's going
on. So wait, 5-gallon bucket. So that looks like what? When you say that, what is a 5-gallon bucket? That's like a paint bucket.
Big paint bucket that you get from Home Depot, any of the big tool stores or whatever.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah. So it's 36 5-gallon buckets on a pallet.
Okay.
Though that would cost the average person $720 for a pallet, plus your shipping cost, and your shipping cost is based on your zip code,
Okay. So what is my minimum return on that? I mean, if I'm thinking, oh, Lord, I'm going to spend my last $700 on this, what sort of return could I expect?
50 to 150% return on that initial investment. You're looking at your average cost per unit is going to be $20 and can easily sell upwards from $45 to $65 easy.
Okay. Well, that is very, very good to know. Now, would you say that this detergent business has been a blessing to you, or is it just a struggle to maintain?
It has truly been a blessing to me. I always say, man, I should have been selling this stuff a long time ago. I really say that. And the more I get into it, the harder it is for me to actually get out of it. I don't think I would ever get out of it. We're in the process of actually creating, setting this up to where we can walk away and it run itself. So I know I wouldn't get out of it because, again, one of the most powerful thoughts I had about laundry detergent is when I was walking down the block a year ago, I thought to myself, how many of these houses that I'm looking at that are occupied with human beings have laundry detergent in the basement? And at that point, I said, that's my potential customer.
Well, that
so,
is...
I mean, you can look around, you can go to your window right now, and you can look out your window, and you can look at all the houses in your community. Each one of those are your potential customer for something that they know they need. And it doesn't even matter to them what you look like, how you sound. What matters to them is the product good, and it is, and they're going how much money they can save. And it's, we're not talking about saving $2 and $3 off like a coupon. We're talking some serious savings here. We're talking $40, $50 upwards to $60 every time they see me. When they see me, it's much more because, again, the market here is saturated. But in those areas where this product does not exist, man, the sky's the limit. You know, you just give a fair price, $65, and that bucket is out the door.
Well, let me say something about the area here being saturated. Okay, so we say that because there are a lot of people selling laundry detergent. But I'll tell you this. I can load our van up with 6 buckets, 5-gallon buckets. I can load them up, and I can be gone, and I could sell them within 2 hours. I guarantee you. So saturation means nothing. You can still sell this because there are people that have not, there's an audience that has not been reached. There always is, okay?
You're so right. I had a young lady here in St. Louis that was buying the soap from me, and she was selling it for like $60 a bucket. I couldn't believe it. And she was getting $60 a bucket. I haven't seen her in a few months. I don't know if she moved out of town, but nevertheless, I got a guy right now that's getting it from me, and he's selling it at $45 a bucket.
And let me say this. You never know who your next customer is going to be. Around Christmas time, we got to get ready to go to break. Christmas time, we had a lady that kept coming back every 2 weeks buying 20 buckets, okay? I don't know what she was doing with them. She said she was giving them to her family for Christmas. I don't care. But that's what I'm saying. You never know who is going to come and buy from you. She could be reselling them, but it doesn't matter. As long as my price point is met, I don't care what they're doing. It's fine.
Right.
But she was buying a lot of detergent, and you never know. Your customer could be the hospital or some janitorial place. Who knows? But let's get ready to go to commercial. Anyone that wants to call in, do so at 1-866-510-9025. Press **, to raise your hand so that we can see you. You're listening to BIB Radio on Black Talk Radio Network, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Okay.
Black Talk Radio, since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
All right, everyone. Thank you for rejoining us on BIB Radio, on Black Talk Radio Network. Please remember to support blacktalkmediaproject.org. Okay, so we are talking to Brother Robert 11X, and he is explaining to us the lucrative opportunity in selling bulk laundry detergent. Now, if you all have been listening for the last hour, this is definitely something that you can do. Now, once you join us, we will teach you several things, how to deal with the naysayers, how to deal with, you know, when I say naysayers, there are people that'll say, well, how do I know that this is real laundry detergent? I mean, these people exist. I mean, like with any product that you sell, there are going to be people that question you, and you have to strategically answer these people because you know that your product is a great product. Don't let them make you feel ashamed about what you are doing. You are an entrepreneur and you're here to sell. I always say if they're there, they're there for you to sell to them. One thing that I say, you know, some people might say to us, well, how do I know that this is real laundry detergent? Well, I say to them, did you bring your scientist? Did you bring your chemist? When you went to Walmart and bought the detergent, did you ask them those questions there? No. So, I mean, usually I end up winning them, you know, because they end up having to think about those things that they're saying to you. And it's just sometimes it's just ridiculous. And we know that we are predispositioned to treat each other poorly in these environments. When I'm selling something to another black person, it just becomes, you know, chaotic at times. But we know that it can be better. So meanwhile, if you would like to sell laundry detergent, feel free to reach out to us at weareblacksinbusiness@gmail.com. Robert has been on Facebook giving lots of information. If you would like to have a consultation with us, feel free to email so that we can get you set up for a consultation, okay? Again, that's weareblacksinbusiness@gmail.com, okay? So we'd like to get you set up in the business, especially if you are located out of town. If this is something that you feel you can do, we want to set you up. So what we'd like to do next is segue into our next portion, which we are going to be talking to Mr. Jason Thornton, a tax advisor. We've had tax advisors on here in the past, but all of them bring a different spin. As you know, tax time is coming to a close here. Now, if you haven't done the proper paperwork and you haven't gathered all your documents and you're just still like a basket case like you are every year, you might be able to reach out to one of our consultants and get the help that you need. So that is what we are hoping to help you do. So let's see here. Robert, are you there?
I sure am.
Okay, perfect. Okay, so as we are waiting for our next guest to come on, and if he's listening, all you have to do is press ** so that we can see you there and your line will be unmuted. Let's see. Yep, he's not on here yet. But in the meantime, Robert, what can people expect from you if they decide to take on this business? Will you support them by way of, you know, offering them new products that you may come in contact with? If they want to sell more than laundry detergent, is that available through you?
Oh, yes. I have a wealth of information and knowledge, insight into the retail industry on whatever product you're looking for. I got books right here at my disposal. I can go in these books and pull those products up. And the current information. You know, it's not old information from 2 years ago. I can go back there if you want me to, but I have current information because the business, the industry's changed. The players in the industry's changed quite often. You may have a manufacturer here today and gone tomorrow, and the product may not have been as nice as they thought it would be, and they're out of the game. So you have to stay very current with your information when it comes to all these industries.
You know, that's funny that you say that, because I think we ran into that last week. We found out one of our suppliers is not being current, and that could actually be hurtful to your business. So as a person in business, you have to stay on top of knowing if your supplier is on top of their game. If they're not on top of their game, you better beware, because that could potentially cause you to go out of business. So I would say do your homework on your supplier, have more than one supplier, have more than one option available so that you can make sure that your business is going to more than stay afloat, but flourish. What do you think, Robert?
Oh, no doubt. And see, the other thing that I think I offer as someone who would be in your ear as a client, I always said that you really have to know how to hustle as well as be a businessman. And whatever industry you go into, you have to learn how to hustle the industry as well as be a businessman in the industry. And if you, a hustler knows what I'm talking about. If you have never been in the streets in your town, hustling in the streets, coming from that lifestyle, then you don't automatically know how to make it happen. You have to be able to use, play the cards that you're dealt with and know how to either bluff to make things appear to make your opponent feel like you're finna make a move, but you gotta have an instinct to know how to move even in business. You gotta be able to study the other person in business, because business is warfare. It's not something that you're gonna go into and everybody gonna want to see you succeed. So you need a coach. You need someone who is able and has been down that road, who has experienced the ups and the downs. Also, I always say I'd rather know the downs that one has been through than rather than the ups, because, I mean, you're going to experience the ups, but it's the hard times that people need to know about in business, and how do I get through that? Some things you're not going to even have a clue to ask about. So it's up to your coach to be able to know that there are certain things a person just is not going to know to ask about. Let me give you an example. We talk about trade shows. Now, CC, you went to your first trade show. Had I not told you in advance about wearing comfortable shoes to the trade show, how do you think that would have turned out for you?
Well, I would have been in some wonderful heels, but by the first 25 minutes, I probably would have been barefoot.
And see, again, those little bitty details are actually huge ones.
Right.
They may seem little, but when you in that space at that moment in time, that's when you start thinking, oh, wow, oh, no, my feet are hurting. So as a coach, you should be thinking way ahead of the student that you are, or the client, I should say, that you are teaching. You have to give all your own personal experiences and put those into account for that person to be able to see those in these different venues or different experiences that they're going to go through, so that they don't have to bump their head. That's, to me, that's what being a good coach is. That's what learning how to hustle the business, I can give you perspectives on how to go into certain environments and how to look for ways to make money other than the obvious way. And those are the things that I've been able to do. I recently just sent a text to a guy who played a very instrumental role in my opening up a clothing store, not willingly. He didn't play the role willingly. Matter of fact, he told me the game was to be sold and not told. And I told him, I hear you, but that don't apply to me. And I sent some of my young guys that was working for me to his store to go in his trash can and to cut off the shipping tags off the boxes that were in his trash can. And they brought those tags back to me, and that's how I wind up going to my first trade show. So these type of things, that this is not something that you're going to necessarily find. You're definitely not going to get it out of college, out of a business class in college. You're not going to get that like that. So these are non-conventional. My approach always is non-conventional, something that you wouldn't have necessarily thought of to do. That's how I think. And sometimes, well, not sometimes, God blesses whom he chooses with abilities that he chooses for that person to have. So that's why it's always good to have a team. You know, I can't be all to this business that I need. But what God has given me to be is what I am. And the next man should not be mad at that. I can't get mad at your talents, what you're able and capable of doing, that what God gave you to be able to do. A wise man would incorporate that into what he or she is doing so that their thing could go even further.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so getting back to the laundry detergent, specifically, we have people on the line, and I think that they're here because they may have some interest. So if you are here on the line, just press ** so that we can see you and you're unmuted, and you can ask us whatever questions you might want to. You can ask Brother Robert about his history in entrepreneurship. You can talk about the laundry detergent. You can ask those weird questions that might be floating in your head, because there really is no weird or strange question, only the one that isn't asked. Again, when I started out with this, I was like, who in the world is buying laundry detergent from somebody else when you can just go to the store? It made no sense. But this detergent is 2 times concentrated. You could even have it 4 times concentrated or 3 times concentrated. You know, there's varieties that it comes in. It comes in many different scents. I don't even know how many scents it comes in, but we have it, of course, listed. But there's so many different scents. Let me think. They're all, like you said, HE friendly. So if you have the high efficiency machines, you can have this for those machines. If you have the regular machines, they work for the regular machines also. The beauty of it is it's at least two times concentrated, if that's what you want. Are you saying something?
Okay.
No? No, he's on the other phone.
I was just talking to our next guest. He mistakenly thought that he was coming in the 9 o'clock hour, but he was supposed to be calling in right now, as he said. So
right, he's supposed to be calling in like 15 minutes ago.
Right. So he says he's going to call in right now.
Mm-hmm.
I do apologize. I didn't catch your last.
No, that's okay. I'm trying to look and see, was that a miscommunication on my part? May have been, not sure, but yes. So we look forward to talking to him here in a second. Did he say he's about to call in?
Yeah, he did say that. That's what he said. He was about to call in.
Okay. So again, everyone, thank you for joining us on BIB Radio. We are housed on Black Talk Radio Network. Please support blacktalkmediaproject.org. And it looks like we have Mr. Jason on the line now. Welcome to BIB Radio. Who do we have on the line?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. I apologize for my tardiness. I'm truly honored to be able to be on the show with you, and I'm ready for any questions anyone may have.
Oh, no. You are absolutely fine. We are a laid-back type of show. It's not anything that you have to be in a frazzle about. It happens. Trust me. Sometimes my computer is not working, and I'm doing this show. So you are just fine. Thank you for joining us. Of course, we have Brother Robert on with us, and we are happy that you came to talk to us about taxes. So introduce yourself, Brother Jason, to our listening audience.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Well, you know, I'm a tax advisor. I'm an accountant that specializes in representing clients before the government to resolve tax issues. Tax issues can pop up in many, many different forms, but and it affects more people than, you know, the general public really realize. I mean, tax law affects, of course, individuals, businesses, and believe it or not, nonprofit organizations. So my practice is focused on, you know, meeting with clients, getting an understanding of what their tax problem is, if they're being audited by the IRS, if they have a tax bill that's just way too big for them to pay, if they have an issue with identity theft and, you know, they need someone to help them, they come to my office and, you know, I represent them before the government. I do the best I can to resolve the issue, you know, to make sure that, you know, their rights are protected. Because what most people don't realize that there is a taxpayer bill of rights. There are certain inalienable rights that you have as a taxpayer that all tax authorities, this is the Internal Revenue Service, the State Department of Revenue, and even your local county or municipality has to afford you your right to representation.
So I have a question, Jason. Now, what is the difference between what you do and then what the tax, the IRS actually has a set of people that help you resolve the problem? What is the difference between what you do and what they do?
Okay. The Taxpayer Advocacy Office is an avenue for you to go when you run into roadblocks with the with like an agent or with appeals. The taxpayer advocacy is not somewhere you can go to as your first step. It's normally one of your second, third, or last options after you can't resolve an issue with an agent or his superior. So let's say you're being audited and you attempt to resolve the audit on your own. If you get a result that's not desired, then there's an option for you to go to the taxpayer advocacy office. But they only work with you in the sense of trying to appeal a negative issue, but you can only appeal it if you have the grounds to actually appeal it. So it's not like they take on every case. It's kind of in the sense of a public defender, but a public defender who only takes your case after you lose the case, and they help you in appeals. They're not someone that's going to help you resolve an issue. Let's say you actually do owe a debt, but you're trying to settle it. They're not going to help you settle a debt. They're going to help a person who needs some issues or clearing up some something where they actually don't owe the debt, but they don't know the proper way to fill out the paperwork.
Right, right.
So
okay,
they help you more in the sense of process.
Okay, in the process. So how many people would you say are going through a tax problem? I mean, is this quite common or is it not common?
Oh, it's extremely common. The only things that vary is the degree of the problem that someone may have. Most people, in some case, when you're dealing with self-employed individuals, run into tax problems because the moment you become self-employed, you're mostly thinking about the excitement of starting your business, building your brand, going out there and doing what you do to service or create a product or do something in this world. What people neglect is the tax and the accounting end of their business. I know a lot of barbers. I know a lot of contractors. I even know a lot of lawyers who are great at what they do. But what they are not good at is the bookkeeping, the accounting, and the tax planning side of the business. And you can be the greatest person at what your profession is and still end up failing at business due to your lack of knowledge when it comes to the accounting regulation and tax law.
Wow, that is important that you said that, because that information that you just put out basically says, be good at what it is that you do and hire someone else to do that which you don't do.
Yes, definitely. I actually had a client who came in today, and this is his first year. Well, 2016 was his first year being self-employed. And he asked me the question, like, at what point should he be getting serious about keeping records? At what point should he really focus on actually doing what needs to be done in the sense of accounting and bookkeeping as a business? And honestly, the answer is day one. Even mm-hmm. though it may be like the farthest thing from an entrepreneur's mind, bookkeeping and accounting is one of the most important things of your business, because that is the foundation of knowing what to do. When it comes to accounting, I mean, every accounting student gets the very first lesson when they talk about accounting is the language of business. And the reason why you have to have accounting and make sure that everything is right is because there's three main reasons why accounting exists. Number one, for internal use. The business owner wants to have correct and accurate books because you need to use that information to make wise business choices. You can't run the business completely off your gut feeling, because at the end of the month, you need to know, is your business plan working or not? So if you don't know what your break-even point, that dollar amount that you have to generate just so that where you're not losing money, then how can you properly price your service, price your goods? You can't just enter into business and say, I'm going to be half the price of my competition. There might be a very good reason why your competition is at that price point, because they did the research and realized that in the long term, they'll go out of business unless they're at that price point. So the number one reason why you need accounting is going to be for internal use. You as an entrepreneur need this information so that you can make wise business choices. The second out of the three is for financing. Many entrepreneurs who start off may not have the money to start the business off on the right foot that they need, so they seek one or two things. They either seek loans or they seek investors. Now, people who issue loans, banks and whatnot, and people who invest in businesses need to see your books to see if you're worthy of the credit or if your business plan is going to be worthy of an investment. The last reason why you need the books is going to be for tax purposes, okay? These are outside entities, the Internal Revenue Service, the Department of Revenue of your state, or your local county or municipalities. They're going to demand to see your books so that they know if you're taxed appropriately so they can fund what they need to do as a part of government. So those are the three main reasons why anyone needs books, and it's very, very important to be successful in business to have those books correct.
Yes, that was definitely a mouthful of information. Now, people really shy away from keeping appropriate records because it's just tedious and they don't specialize in bookkeeping. So they just kind of, well, I'll scribble it on. Well, let me talk about me. Like, you know, keeping miles has always been like the pain, the thorn in my side. So I try to develop so many ways to keep miles. It's like I'll get this fresh notebook and I say, okay, I'm going to put the date down here and I'm going to write down the miles and I'm going to write down where I was. And, you know, then I move to the phone because there's a notepad in the phone. Okay, right. I can speak the miles into the phone. There's no reason why I shouldn't be able to keep up with these miles. And then I just kind of gave up. I mean, I know they have the Mile IQ, and I'm like, okay, I don't know if I want to pay for anything. So you just get like really lazy when it comes to keeping appropriate records. So what tools do you have for people so that they can keep appropriate records so they can funnel all of their information over to you in a successful way?
There are many applications for people on your phone, your tablet, your computer that you can use now that are cost effective when it comes to keeping these records. And it also depends on what type of industry that you're in. Is it a service? Is it are you selling retail products? But at the end of the day, you got to find a program that kind of works with you and your method of working, right? There's QuickBooks Online. QuickBooks is the giant in the industry when it comes to a retail bookkeeping software. There's QuickBooks Online. I think the cheapest form of QuickBooks Online can be as low as $15 a month. I mean, but it honestly, a person who has the time, who's dedicated enough, you can keep books pretty simply when it comes to ensuring that you have a business account. You have a separate business account, you know, the difference from your personal account. And just make sure that all your business transactions go through that account, right? So, you know, write checks, use your debit card. Anytime that you get paid, make sure that you deposit that money into that business account. And then when you want to use it for personal reasons, either transfer that money, make a withdrawal, write yourself a check, and use the money personally that way. Then at the end of the month, if worst comes to worst, you can just look at your bank statement and write notes on your bank statement and say, okay, I know that I got paid from this person. That's what that deposit was for. And then I know what that debit card use was for. That was for supplies. But you have to do it at least. You don't want to wait longer than a month to reconcile your bank statement with what you know, because you get 3 or 4 months down the road, you won't know what you bought at Walmart for $230, because that bank statement's not going to tell you what you bought. They're just going to tell you who you bought it from. And when you get out 2 or 3 or 4 months, you'll never remember really what you bought. So I say at the least, at the end of the month, if you have a separate bank account, you know, and you don't want to deal with computers, you know, because still, I mean, in this age, you got to be able to, you know, deal with technology. But if, you know, worst come to worst, if you have a separate bank account that's just for business and you're putting all your revenue in there and you're making all your expenses out of that, worst come to worst, you could take a look at that bank statement. But QuickBooks Online, the different Xero accounting that's online. I mean, if you can use it, if there, I know there's the tools, there's colleges that give cheap, you know, educational classes where you don't have to sign up and become, you know, a student enrolled in a college, but you can take continuing education classes for about 2 or 3 weeks who will teach you how to do the basics of accounting with that software. It's strongly suggested, because at the end of the day, you live and you die in business by the numbers.
That's so true. Now, you mentioned about like free college courses, but, you know, I find that these libraries also have courses.
Yes, ma'am.
And and those are very beneficial. I love going to the library to learn. I mean, it's like, I kind of feel like the big dog in there. Usually it's like some senior citizens or whatever, but I don't care. I go in there and I learn whatever I need to learn. It's wonderful. So if somebody come to you, Jason, and say, you know, I just don't even know where to start, Jason. I got this business. I have a shoebox full of receipts and some of them are faded. I'm just lost. And I want to start doing things correctly after this tax season. So what would be your advice for them to go ahead and get started correctly?
I mean, the first thing that you want to do, I mean, no matter where you are in the process, you want to just make sure that you collect, like you said, if they collect whatever type of records that you have, whatever it is, get those type of records together and then start to recreate and piece together a timeline of when you started into where you are now. Think about all the money that you first invested into the company before the company was making money. I mean, because there's two type of ways that an owner of a company can put money in and take money out. You either are contributing money to the company to start it up, or you're making draws out of the company. Now, if I put in my company $200 in the first month of the company so that I can, you know, have some money in there, and then all of a sudden I have a personal bill that's $100 and I take that $100 out, that's not new money to me. I'm not going to be taxed on that. Even if I take the whole $200 out to take care of personal issues, I have that right because it's my business. I can put money in, I can take money out. It's only taxable when if I put in $200 and I take out $300, now I've got new money. That last $100 out of that $3 is now new money that's going to be taxable. And you have to keep good records to know and show and prove to whatever taxing authority, the Internal Revenue Service, Department of Revenue, how the company started off so that they will consider all the money in the account taxable if you don't have your records together. So whatever type of records that you have, put them together, bring them together. If you got that shoebox of receipts, if you have old bank statements, we can help and recreate the books as if you were starting out on the right foot from day one, and then we'll set up a plan so that you can just continue it for the life of the business.
Okay. Well, we've got to take a short break here. You're listening to BIB Radio on Black Talk Radio Network. Remember, support blacktalkmediaproject.org. We'll be back in a second.
Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio, new black media for the new millennium.
All right, everyone, welcome to our last half hour of BIB Radio. This show, again, of course, we're at the date of April 6, 2017. We are speaking with Mr. Jason Thornton, and he is a public accountant, tax advisor, and he has given us many tips and lots of information concerning keeping your records straight and just what you should be doing at this point if your business is a complete frazzle basket. Robert, are you still there? Do you have some important questions for Jason? Because we know that you have a business. What questions might you have for him?
Well, I mean, I was the question that was coming through my mind, Jason was so insightful that he answered the questions as I was thinking them. They were just coming right out of his mouth. But I was reflecting on the conversation that we had, me and Jason, the other day, in reference to our guest that we had on a week ago. We were talking about the whole idea of that the tax is not, there's no written law that people were required to pay taxes. And he gave me a very insightful point of view on that. Brother Jason, can you share with the audience what it was that you expressed to me when I asked you about, I told you about the guest that we had on, and she said that there's nothing written in law. But he shared something with me that I thought was very interesting. So could you share that with the audience, brother?
Yes, sir. I know I've been down a rabbit hole myself when it comes to the different concepts and ideas of is the federal income tax constitutional or not. There's hours upon hours upon hours of different YouTube videos, different blogs, different websites that will have you go down a long, deep hole and really never see the light of day. At the end of the day, the Internal Revenue Code that is managed by the Internal Revenue Service was voted into law by Congress. There are many different things that people say when they talk about the 16th Amendment, and did it really actually ratify that, the Congress or the government has the ability to enact a federal income tax. But at the end of the day, I can tell you that the Internal Revenue Service has been given the authority by Congress to enforce the Internal Revenue Code. I know there's many different arguments out there in the world, and there's many different points of view. But I can tell you right now that those of you who are out there that can hear my voice, who think that they can make some argument that can get you out of paying federal income tax, the ones and all the different things that I've heard have not succeeded. Now, you can get away personally without paying taxes if you're a small fish in a big pond. If you're making $20,000, $30,000, even $40,000 or $50,000 a year, self-employed, and you don't have anything that pops up on the record books, no one's issuing you a 1099, you don't have any type of wages on your wage and income transcript from the Internal Revenue Service, you're simply getting away with something because there's bigger fish to fry. But honestly, if the Internal Revenue Service had an axe to grind, if they wanted to target you, you would end up either paying, getting on some sort of payment arrangement, or going to jail. They have that authority. So when it comes down to opinions, people get so tied up, it almost becomes a faith-based religion when it comes to certain conspiracy theories. But I can tell you without a doubt that the IRS has the authority to enforce the Internal Revenue Code, and if you do your best to fight it, debate it, or compete with them against it, you will end up losing at the end of the day.
Well, I can understand what you're saying. Whether it is a law or not, we have seen many examples of people that have gone to prison for not paying taxes. And with that being said, there's always going to be people paying taxes. So that is why they need you for bookkeeping and the appropriate and proper information on how to get these things done so that you don't end up in a situation. Now, I told this story before. I used to make about $113,000 a year. And when I was no longer making that money, I started getting these thick letters from the IRS. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. So one day I decided to open them. And they were telling me I owed them like $50,000 or $60,000. I don't remember what it was, but it was something. Yeah, it was huge. And I was like, I was depressed. I mean, who can pay that back? So I just started thinking, I'm gonna have like the Men in Black knocking at my door. Somebody's gonna come get me. I was stressed out. I mean, I was going down to the IRS like every other month trying to figure it out. I don't even know what I was going down there saying. Why would I keep going back? But I kept going down there trying to figure out what in the world could I do because I'm not making this money anymore. And that's simply what it was. They were used to me filing on this certain amount of money. But when I just stopped filing, they're like, okay, she's withholding. We got to come after her. So
exactly.
This one time I went down to the IRS. They were very nice to me. I didn't have any problem with those people that worked in the office. It was these other people, whoever they were, that were sending the letters to me. Like, they're the problem. But I remember I walked outside and I was going back to my car, and some man heard me talking. And I mean, I kid you not, I think this man was an angel. I mean, because he just came out of nowhere and he said, here, take this card, call these people. I think that they can help you. And just in my mind, I was just like at the no hope, because I didn't have money to pay anybody to even help me. I just was at that point. But I called him. I gave him all of my information. He was a public accountant. He was a tax accountant. And he had all of the right answers for me. Nice. He worked everything out. And after he got done with going through all of my information, the IRS actually owed me $6,000.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was a total blessing, because, I mean, we are just very afraid when it comes to IRS situations. So, people, if you are listening, I would suggest that you get with an accountant, a professional tax preparer, somebody that can guide you through the storms of whatever it is that you might be going through. Now, Jason, do you help people who are not in St. Louis?
Oh, yes. I mean, I've got clients in New York. I got clients in Texas, California, all over. I mean, my license allows me to practice without any jurisdictional constraints. I mean, what you said about your personal situation, it's really there's millions of people who go through that. What you have to realize is that the Internal Revenue Service is very automated. A lot of things are computer generated. What you said about they were used to getting a certain type of filing from you, and then when you didn't have that filing, they would automatically assess penalties. That is a real thing. The computer is looking for patterns, and when they see a sudden shift in that pattern, the computer will automatically generate a letter to you to see what's going on. If you do not respond to that letter, another one will get generated, and another, and automatic penalties and interest will accrue before an agent really even looks at your account. Mm. So it's about taking action, and you can't sit on your hands.
Mm-mm. No, you can't roll up in a ball or put your head in the ground like an ostrich. You have to definitely take some action. And you have to take it to a professional. You know, a lot of times, I mean, for me, I don't believe in doing that. I don't believe in doing everything myself. I believe in delegating responsibilities to those who are trained to take care of those things for me. So for myself and for everybody listening, hey, we all need to consult with a professional concerning our taxes, our accounting needs, mileage, whatever. I mean, because I still struggle with mileage. I'm like, oh my gosh, I went 60 miles. I didn't write it down. Yeah, so it's like we all need to just really take heed and take better care of our businesses. I mean, your bottom line will look better if you have the appropriate information to give someone like Jason so he can take care of you. So, Jason, if they would like to get a consultation with you and perhaps utilize your services, how can they get a hold of you?
Oh, definitely. I mean, they can always call me. They can call me 314-394-8588. My website is thorntonoffice.com. That's thorntonoffice.com. They can see me on Facebook, even on Instagram, at Thornton Tax. I mean, I'm very easily accessible. If you just Google accountant Jason Thornton, my information should pop up. Doesn't matter where you are in the United States. I even have some clients that are out of the country. If it comes to any dealing with anything with tax law, I can represent you before the government and resolve whatever issues you may have.
Okay. Now we have some very high-powered people. Now, would you fly into them if they needed you to do that?
Definitely. I'll jump on a plane in a heartbeat. I mean, there's one main misconception that I hear from a lot of different clients that I want to make sure that I communicate as clearly as possible. One of the main things that I hear from some people, they say, I'm waiting to fix my tax problem because I need to get my stuff in order. I'm not making much money right now. When I get back on my feet and I start making some money, that's when I'm going to fix my problem. Let me tell you right now, that is the worst time to try to fix your problem when you get back on your feet. The Internal Revenue Service is more willing, and you have more power in your court when you are financially in trouble. When you had that big shift from a big income to a low income, even though you truly did not owe the tax, let's say you did owe that money. When your income drastically shifts and you do not have a realistic ability to repay that large tax liability, the Internal Revenue Service will negotiate with me to settle that debt for almost pennies on the dollar. I recently closed a case where a sister who's a seamstress, she owed $50,000, but she had no equity in any of her assets, and her business was in a slump. She was upside down in her home. She was upside down in one of her cars, and her business was in a slump. We were able to settle a $50,000 tax liability, which included personal income tax, payroll taxes, and self-employment tax. We were able to settle that for $1,600.
Wow. That is definitely a bonus.
She was in trouble financially. Now, if she would have waited till her business started booming again, that settlement offer would have jumped up much higher than $1,600. I can promise you that. So don't wait. Don't say to yourself, when I get some more money in my pocket and my business starts really booming, that's when I'm going to fix my tax problem. The government is in a weaker position to demand things on you when you do have a slump in your finance.
Well, that's very good information. But again, I will emphasize, do not stick your head in the sand. Reach out to someone who is qualified to help you, like Jason Thornton. He's looking forward to your phone calls, your emails, and just plain old reaching out so that you can get your problem resolved. It will not resolve on its own. It's only going to get worse. Reach out to him so that he can help you. Well, Jason, we'd like to thank you for coming on the show. Feel free to call back anytime with any information or advice. Anything new coming up, just let us know. We will happily have you on. If you'd like to create a commercial to go on Black Talk Radio Network, we'll do that for you too. But we have to tell you good night.
Thank you so much. I just want to say last thing, please continue to support this great show. Support Blacks in business. This is more than just a term. This is a movement that you have to join. And I got to say that I'm humbled and honored to be on this show.
Well, thank you. We are happy again to have you on. Come back anytime. Jason, have a blessed night, okay?
Yes, ma'am. You too.
Thank you, brother.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Well, all right, everybody. That was Mr. Jason Thornton. If you need help with accounting or if you have some tax needs, reach out to him. That date of April 15th, I think it is, or is it April 16th this year? I don't know what they're doing this year, but one of those dates is coming up really fast. If you need to
in the sand.
I know you feel overwhelmed at times because of the different things stacking up, but we have provided help for you. We have provided extra income information for you. At the top of the hour, we are talking about the laundry detergent business with Brother Robert. If you would like to consult with him concerning your opportunity in being a laundry detergent distributor, please reach out to us at weareblacksinbusiness@gmail.com. We are happy to connect with you and talk with you more about this lucrative opportunity in the laundry detergent business. Well, Robert, it's been a wonderful show once again. We have got to bid everyone adieu as we are coming to a close here again for April 6, 2017. You have any last words for people?
As Brother Jason just said, this is not BIB, Blacks in Business, is not just something that we started to gain some self-recognition the recognition that we are intending to gain is for our people, black people who are in business, who need correct information in order for them to stay in business. And this is what Blacks in Business is all about, BIB. And if you go to your Facebook search bar and type in your city name and state, behind that, we are Blacks in Business. You should see us in your city or state. And if we're not there, get with me or CC. I'm Robert11X spelled out, minor, Robert11X minor on Facebook. And CC is CC Harry. And we will definitely make sure that you, we will have a BIB chapter in your city for sure.
Right. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. Again, reach out to us at weareblacksinbusiness@gmail.com. Thank you, Scotty, for all that you do. We are out. BIB. Good night, everybody. Out.